listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes. Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Yo, yo, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Ike Reese, former Philadelphia Eagle, now does a talk show, Afternoon Drive, number one rated show in Philadelphia on Sports Radio 94 WIP. He's going to be stopping by 20 minutes from now as the Eagles, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Eagles are 60 minutes away from going to a Super Bowl, and that's going to be an awesome game. I'm going to the game on Sunday. Can't wait. I'll be covering it. You give me a follow on Twitter, at Zach Gelb, also on Instagram, at Zach Gelb as well. We'll give you some behind-the-scenes access after the game. So we'll have a bunch of content up, of course, all throughout the day, and then especially after the game. And then right after that NFC title game, you go into the AFC title game with the Cincinnati Bengals and also the Kansas City Chiefs, where Patrick Mahomes, full participant in practice. We'll see how much of a full go he will be able to be on the field coming up on Sunday and if there will be any limitations. As the gambling line is weird on that one. It opened up Chiefs as a 1.5-point favorite, then skyrocketed, I guess you could say, to the Bengals then being a 2.5-point favorite. And then today, I have seen the Chiefs either even, so a pick 'em between the Bengals and the Chiefs, or Kansas City actually getting a point plus one. We also had the finalists announced today for the end of the year awards in the NFL. Now, I do think it's important to note here, these awards are regular season awards because I think there are a lot of people that see these awards come out and go, oh, how is this person not a finalist? Or how is this person not being talked about to win the award? These are regular season awards. So, like, for example, if you say, well, Nick Sirianni just beat Brian Daboll last week, how is Sirianni not a finalist for Coach of the Year than Brian Daboll is? It's based off the regular season. So you can't talk about the playoff game. Now, if you want to argue the two games in the regular season where the Eagles beat the Giants, I guess that is fair. And Sirianni has done a wonderful job in Philadelphia, but the two games he didn't have Jalen Hurts, they lost both those games. And Sirianni is a really damn good coach, but Daboll had nothing. Nothing on that team. Like, I thought the Eagles right away when they traded for A.J. Brown were going to win the NFC East. Did I think they were going to go to the Super Bowl or be in the NFC title game? No. Did I think they would have the best record in the league? No. But you got to give Sirianni credit for getting them to that level. But when you talk about, and you only have three finalists for this award, Brian Daboll, that team at best was supposed to win five games. They got to the playoffs. Now, I can't say, oh, yeah, they got to the playoffs and won a playoff game, which they did. But that's not what the award is based off of. It's not postseason success. It's what you did in the regular season. So, Hickey, you have compiled a list here, and we're not going to go through every award, but we'll go through the main ones like Coach of the Year, MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year. We'll do Rookie of the Year and then Comeback Player of the Year. I'm sure there's other awards as well, but we're not going to go through each and every one, just the main ones that you actually care about. You give me the finalists, and I will tell you who's going to win the award. Go ahead. Oh, we got some music here.
Let's start the aforementioned Coach of the Year. Five finalists here. As you mentioned, Nick Sirianni is one of the five, along with Kyle Shanahan, Brian Daboll, Sean McDermott, and Doug Peterson.
Wait, now hold on. I'm confused. I thought Sirianni was not a finalist for
He's
Coach
finalist.
Of the Year. I saw a clip today where he was asked about not being a finalist for Coach of the Year. They asked him in his press conference.
I'm looking at the NFL official Twitter account. Coach of the Year finalists. I got five names.
Oh, you know what this is? One is the AP.
The other is Pro Football Writers. That's coming out tonight. Like, Patrick Mahomes already MVP for Pro Football Writers.
But Elliot Shore Park has this tweet out. Nick Sirianni probably should have been a finalist for Coach of the Year, but the biggest snub by far is Brandon Graham not being a finalist for Comeback Player of the Year. So I saw a clip today, Sirianni, I was watching his press conference, where they said, Coach, you weren't a Coach of the Year finalist. Like, well, how do you react to that? And he was talking more so about Hassan not being a Defensive Player of the Year candidate and Brandon Graham for Comeback Player of the Year. So
We're doing NFL honors, right? The one that's going to be revealed Super Bowl week?
I guess. There's so many damn awards here. So which one did you compile here?
These are the ones, NFL honors.
Okay, fine.
Revealed Super Bowl week, MVP, right. Coach of the Year. These are the five for Coach of the Year.
Okay, go ahead.
Nick Sirianni, Kyle Shanahan, Brian Daboll, Sean McDermott, and Doug Peterson.
I think it's going to be Brian Daboll. I'm going to say it's going to be Brian Daboll. If not Brian Daboll, I would go with Doug Peterson. Yourself.
Should or will?
Let's go Will.
I think it will be
because
Brian Daboll.
Because your wills are also shoulds, what I've learned.
Not true, but I think it will win Brian Daboll. So I will go with the Giants head coach.
Okay, let's continue.
MVP.
So, okay, just to clarify here. The Associated Press, they announced their finalists for several NFL awards. I'm reading this, and this is for the NFL honors. This is not the Associated Press, I guess?
Same thing. They use the AP.
This once again.
The finalists for the 2022 AP MVP, which will be revealed at NFL honors Thursday during Super Bowl week.
I'm reading the CBS News Philadelphia. Nick Sirianni was snubbed for Coach of the Year, but it's not a big deal. Here's why. Eagles fans were furious on social media Wednesday after the Associated Press announced finalists for several NFL awards, and they had every right to be. Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni was snubbed as a finalist for the Coach of the Year award. So I'll go off the names you have. I'm confused on this. I'm just going to be...
It's on the NFL official Twitter account, so I don't know where they're looking. Again, I know the Pro Football Writers Association of America is putting their awards out today. Like, I saw the Chiefs already tweeted out Patrick Mahomes winning the MVP award today. So maybe that's what people are upset about, and their criteria is different. But so far, at least from what the NFL honors and what the AP one, which is the one we use, right? The AP MVP is the one we reference every single year, not the Pro Football Writers one. And AP MVP, five finalists, four quarterbacks, one wide receiver. Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, Justin Jefferson, your five finalists.
For MVP, I'm going to go with Mahomes. And you are right. When I go to the NFL website and they do the MVP, you do have Sirianni listed. But today at his press conference, they asked him about it, and he said he wasn't a finalist. It's bizarre. Whatever. Go ahead. Mahomes going to win MVP.
All right. How about Defensive Player of the Year? Three finalists, Micah Parsons, Nick Bosa, and Chris Jones of the Chiefs.
I think it will be Nick Bosa. You?
Same. I'm with you. I think Nick Bosa will win Defensive Player of the Year. How about Offensive Player
of
the
Year? And hold on. I think you're going Mahomes, right, for MVP as well?
Yes. Yes, okay. Sir. Patrick Mahomes for MVP, without a doubt. All right. Offensive Player of the Year, four finalists, two quarterbacks, two wide receivers. Receivers, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson. Quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes.
Oh. See, this one is always confusing to me because I just said Mahomes is going to win MVP. So shouldn't he win then Offensive Player of the Year? You would think. But I don't think he's going to win Offensive Player of the Year. I believe that's going to be Justin Jefferson. Now, I don't know historically how this has played out, but I think what this will turn into is the MVP will be who's your best quarterback, and then your Offensive Player of the Year. Like, if Mahomes had this record-breaking, ridiculous season, which he was close to doing so, then he would probably win Offensive Player of the Year. But if there's not a quarterback that is like, okay, did something historical, then I do believe it opens up the door for a running back or a wide receiver for Offensive Player of the Year. Like, the MVP to me is usually a quarterback award, and then Offensive Player of the Year, I think moving forward, and I don't know how it's been historically, is going to be a skill position player. I do believe it's going to be Justin Jefferson.
I agree with you, by the way. I think it will be probably wide receiver because it is kind of, like I said, quarterback wins the MVP. Usually non-quarterback wins Offensive Player of the Year. I'm with you. I'll go Justin Jefferson as well of the Vikings. Tremendous year. What is it, 1,800 yards? He is incredible. I think he will win Offensive Player of the Year for sure. All right. Rookie of the Year. Let's start offensive. Offensive Rookie of the Year, three finalists. We got Garrett Wilson of the Jets, Kenneth Walker of the Seahawks, and a late surge here, Brock Purdy of the 49ers. Is six games enough for Brock Purdy, first of all?
See, that's tough.
That's a small sample size.
Like, I don't think he should win the award, but the fact that he's a finalist, it's kind of like the Jeff Saturday thing. Like, I don't think Jeff Saturday should be hired by the Colts, but the fact that he's getting a second interview means there's a chance he could get the award. But when you only have three offensive finalists here, it makes me think that he probably will. But if I'm going to go off of should here, I would say Kenneth Walker would be my should. If I was voting, I would go Kenneth Walker.
And just actually correct myself, he's only started five games. He appeared in, Dolphins game, he came,
start,
so basically
though.
Round up to six, but going small there. I'll go Garrett Wilson. Really good rookie year. It's not his fault that, unfortunately, the quarterbacks were not very good for New York for the most part. Outside of Mike White, I'll go Garrett Wilson here, offensive rookie of the year.
I know he got banged up a bit, but I'm surprised Olave is not a finalist. Also, going back to offensive player of the year, and this is the Associated Press offensive player of the year, the last 10 award winners, Cooper Kupp, Derrick Henry, Michael Thomas, Mahomes, Gurley, Matt Ryan, Cam, DeMarco, Murray, Peyton Manning, and Adrian Peterson. So you see how usually whoever wins MVP, it doesn't always necessarily mean you win Offensive Player of the Year as well. And you see the recent years, the last 3 years, it's been skill position, skill position, skill position.
Few quarterbacks. Do you think Jalen Hurts has a good chance to win? Like, does he finish second, or does he finish behind both receivers, Tyreek Hill and Justin Jefferson?
You're talking about Offensive Player of the Year?
Offensive Player of the Year. Because usually, like, right, so you, like, we heard of, what,
because
three
his legs are such a force is what you're saying, so.
Right. And he was, it was him and
like
Mahomes.
Like, you view him a little bit more than just a quarterback.
Right. Also, too, they were even until he got, for the most part, until he got hurt. Jalen Hurts got hurt, and that basically took him out of the running, even though he missed two games.
And they lost both those games.
Right.
Like, if we're talking about most valuable player, not offensive player, that should even enhance his argument.
So you wonder if he doesn't win MVP, I wonder if that, you know, he kind of wins Offensive Player of the Year on the back end.
No, I think it's going to be Jefferson because I do believe most voters, and this is just me speculating, are starting to think MVP, you only go quarterback, right? You had like three running backs in like, what, the last 10 or 15 years, I think it is, and you've never had a wide receiver win the MVP, period. I think most voters go quarterback for MVP, and then they go skill position player for Offensive Player of the Year. So I'll say that it's Mahomes MVP, and then Jefferson Offensive Player of the Year.
All right, so rookie, offensive rookie of the year, we had one Jets player, one Seahawks player. Defensive rookie of the year, also one Jets player, one Seahawks player. Tariq Woolen of the Seahawks, great corner this year. Speaking of great corners, Sauce Gardner, also a finalist of the Jets. And third, the former number two overall pick, Aiden Hutchinson. Who do you have as defensive player of the year as a rookie?
A guy that's going to join us tomorrow, I think Sauce Gardner, who's going to join us on the show tomorrow, is going to win the defensive rookie of the year. I really feel bad not giving it to Aiden Hutchinson because his team, even though they missed out in the postseason, they did better down the stretch, but this is an individual award. And there's Sauce may have been the best corner in football this year. As great as Hutchinson was, he was not the best defensive lineman in football this year.
I would agree. I do think it is going to be Sauce Gardner. I'm just trying to look it up right now. I should have had this before. I think Aiden Hutchinson might have more interceptions than
he does. He had three.
Sauce Gardner had two.
And that one play where he was like trying to be like on the sidelines and then he still found the way to pick it off earlier, later on in the year was just absolute insanity.
Talk about a statistical anomaly. You lose out to defensive player of the year for a guy who had more interceptions then.
But once again, that's like kind of goes to the Revis Island respect kind of thing where they don't even throw the ball his way.
No, very true. Very true. And the three interceptions, not that they're luck as for, you know, tipped up.
Oh, no.
Thrown,
He basically
got some breaks.
He had a magnet on his hand and there was a magnet on the football when Rodgers threw it in that Packers game. That was a sick play.
That is just too funny. That's too funny for sure. All right, final award here, Comeback Player of the Year. You mentioned before Brandon Graham of the Eagles, not a finalist. It would be Geno Smith of the Seahawks, Saquon Barkley of the Giants, and Christian McCaffrey of the we'll say Panthers / 49ers are mostly a 49er lore this year.
One more time, give me the names there.
Geno, Saquon Barkley, CMC, Christian McCaffrey.
Ooh. If I was voting, I'd probably go McCaffrey, but I think Geno's going to win.
I'd vote Geno. I think he's going to win, too.
I do think Geno's the best story out of the three, too.
And that's where I think it gets you. Like, stories do win awards. It's not like he was hurt, and that's really kind of what maybe this award is more for, but I think Geno, everyone's falling in love. He'll win the award.
Okay. That's it?
Now, that's it.
By the way.
Those are the six.
This is so confusing. This whole coach of the year kind of thing. I'm reading two tweets from Rob Motti, who works for the AP, and then Jeff McClain. So Rob Motti said, "Dear Eagles fans telling me Nick Sirianni is a finalist for the coach of the year. He's not. There are five finalists for AP, NFL MVP, three for all other AP awards." So did the NFL mess this up?
Maybe.
Because every other one was three, right, that you gave me?
Other than
offensive player of the year, right? There was more than three.
No, offensive player of the year was three. MVP was five. That was it, outside of coach of the year.
And that's what Rob said. There are five finalists for AP, NFL MVP, three for all other AP awards. But you're right. Like, I went to that NFL website that you said, and it does list five for the coach of the year. So I think this was one of those things where, like, you weren't wrong, but I wasn't wrong, but maybe the NFL was wrong. Now, Jeff McClain tweets, actually, he's not. The NFL sent out a promo with Sirianni among the five coaches up for the award, but remarkably, he's not a finalist for the AP award. This makes no sense.
I'm on NFL.com. They have AP coach of the year as five.
I already checked some balance.
I was going to say, I saw the Eagles fans like up in arms
freaking
this morning,
out.
And I'm like, what? Like that, I didn't even pay attention to it because I'm like, all right. And again, maybe the Pro Football Writers are like, okay, maybe they're just mixing up awards because now that comes out of nowhere and Patrick Holmes getting
MVP
award today.
So the NFL messed this up, I guess.
How do you mess that up?
I don't know.
And how do you not correct it by it? Like, they put it out this morning, like what, 10 a.m., let's just say, Eastern? Roughly. You've had almost now 12 hours.
There should just be one award. Right? Not all these different like committees that have these awards, but it seems like it's not we got confused with the different awards that it was announced incorrectly. Because Jeff McClain, he did tweet out originally, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni is a finalist for the coach of the year. The other finalists, Daboll, Sean McDermott, Doug Peterson, Kyle Shanahan. And then he sent a tweet out shortly after that. Actually, he's not. The NFL sent out a promo, Sirianni among the five coaches up for the award, but remarkably, he's not a finalist for the AP award. So that's where the confusion is. Anyway.
So we still don't know who's right, by the way.
Oh, he's not a finalist. I told you, he was asked about it in his press conference that he wasn't a finalist. And he talked about not being a finalist. So he knew he wasn't a finalist. So there you go. Like, that's not your fault. I'm not killing you for that. But you even see Jeff McClain, who's like as plugged in as the Eagles as, he had the five names up and then he had to correct himself. So super duper confusing. But you still go to the NFL website, it still says he's a finalist for the award when he's not. Anyway, who gives a bleep?
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey, and Westwood One brings you the AFC and NFC championship games, streaming live for free this Sunday on the Odyssey app. The 49ers visit the Eagles.
Touchdown, Jalen Hurts!
Gives it to McCaffrey, up the middle into the end zone!
And then it's a rematch between the Bengals and the Chiefs.
Wide open, Ja'Marr Chase takes it in!
Touchdown, Chiefs!
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. You can always follow us at Zach Gelb, at CBS Sports Radio. And if you do so right now, you could find our poll question for today. What would be the most exciting Super Bowl matchup? Eagles, Chiefs, Eagles, Bengals. 49ers, Chiefs, 49ers, Bengals. Hickey, right now, because I think you know our listening audience pretty well. That doesn't always mean that you'll get things right. How do you think the listening audience, 1 through 4, 1 being most exciting, 4 being least exciting, would vote on these matchups? What do you think the public is saying?
I think the public is saying that the least attractive, can I start at 4?
Yeah.
I think it would be a rematch 49ers Chiefs.
You are correct. That's at 7.7% currently.
Oh, wow. That's pretty low. Okay. Third least attractive, I will say, would be Bengals 49ers.
You are correct.
Okay. All right.
26.4.
So we know the public hates the 49ers. Anything with them in it, they do not want to see. Okay.
You know what, though? I think that speaks to the Eagles. Like, nothing against the 49ers. They have Deebo Samuel. They have Christian McCaffrey. Brock Purdy has been a great story. I don't know, though, if I want to see Brock Purdy in a Super Bowl. Like, I think seeing Jalen Hurts operating the quarterback position in the Super Bowl is just more entertaining for me, where they're both at their stages in their career. Like, he's the MVP. He's an MVP candidate, I believe, right? He was a finalist for the award, right?
Yes, 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 yes.
So confusing.
With all the confusion, he was officially, by the AP, by the NFL, confirmed by everyone, Jalen Hurts is one of the 5 finalists.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure. Like, I was watching
Nick Sirianni, allegedly.
I was watching his press conference today where he did talk about it, so I think he was a finalist, but you never know. So I think that just speaks to how excited people are about the Eagles in terms of just what Jalen Hurts brings compares to Brock Purdy. And I do believe that if the Eagles are in it, there's a chance for more points. And you know this, we're all just an absolute sucker for points now in the year of 2023 for football. But okay, go ahead.
I want to ask one quick question.
Mm-hmm.
You think this poll is influenced at all by your following, being, you know, going to school in Philly, having a lot of Eagles fans follow you, being at the game recently last week?
No, because...
Is this just Eagles fans saying, of course I want to see my team, so of course it's the most exciting matchup?
No, because I think if anything, then wouldn't the votes kind of split out and there would only be 2 options? Like, the results here from 3-2 are very slim. I think the Eagle fan, first off, number one... Well, I just gave it away. Eagles-Chiefs is number one. And I think that's what you were going to guess. I think if you're an Eagles fan, the thought would be, okay, you get to go up against Andy Reid. Personally, I think Eagles-Bengals would be the most exciting Super Bowl. That's me. How would you rank these? So to give you them 1 through 4, most exciting would be Eagles-Chiefs 38.1, Eagles-Bengals at 26.8, 49ers-Bengals, these are all updating, 25.8, and then 49ers and Chiefs 9.3.
I will say, I like new and fresh. So out of the 4, I will say last most attractive would be a rematch of Chiefs 49ers, something we saw 3 years ago at this point.
Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. We've seen the Chiefs so much on a big stage. The Bengals were just in a Super Bowl a year ago. So like, I think the AFC is tough to pick. Like, you think the Niners are winning the game this weekend, correct?
Yes.
Would you, though, if you take that prediction aside, Would you personally rather see, and take your hatred for Philadelphia out of it with you being a big-time New York sports fan, but if the NFL doesn't, like, you have no reason to probably hate the Eagles.
Just going to school with a lot of Philly fans.
Yeah, but...
Love rooting against them.
It's not as if you grew up as a Giant fan.
Right, there's no rivalry. Yeah. Colts-Eagles, let's say, is one of the deadest rivalries you could ever have.
But with the way that the Eagles play, I think the Eagles are just a more exciting team than the Niners. Doesn't mean they're the better team. Doesn't mean that the Niners are going to lose this weekend, even though I think the Eagles are going to win. I think the Eagles will be more exciting.
If you get a healthy Patrick Mahomes, just trying to go back and forth in my head here, what would be more attractive? It would be because people love to sell the quarterback
Hurts
matchup.
Mahomes.
Hurts Mahomes or Hurts Burrow? Honestly, I don't know. Like, I think I would probably say Bengals, Eagles, I think would be my number one in terms of most exciting.
Oh, so we're in agreement.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's very close between Chiefs and Eagles and Bengals and Eagles. I would say Bengals, Eagles 1, Chiefs, Eagles 2, but they are close together.
Yes. No, I think those are the two choices. I'm with you. The reason why I would go more Bengals than Chiefs personally, I'm just so enamored with Joe Burrow because he's not the most talented player on the field. He doesn't have the most skill. Like, Mahomes is a more talented player than Joe Burrow, but Burrow walked right into Cincinnati and got them to a Super Bowl his first full year as a starter, healthy. And this year, people thought they were going to regress, and he ends up keeps on dominating. So I kind of think with also the weapons, too. The weapons play a role in this, too. You got Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd. On the Chiefs, like, I'm not saying Juju and Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Pacheco aren't, like, fun players to watch, but they pale in comparison to Ja'Marr Chase, to T. Higgins. And then if Tyler Boyd's your third, that's pretty damn impressive. Oh, yeah, let's not forget about Joe Mixon, too. Where for Kansas City, in terms of star power, outside of Mahomes and Kelce, which are two mega stars, it's not like they have dominant star power.
Now, I will say that Kelce Brothers podcast, New Heights, would be electric if it's Eagles Chiefs. That'd be a lot of fun.
With also the Andy Reid storyline, too.
Yes, that's also, oh man.
Because there's going to be people that are going to remember when Andy Reid goes to Canton, Ohio, more so Andy Reid for his days in Kansas City than Philadelphia. Like, if this guy coaches another 5 years, he's been coaching in Kansas City since 2013. He was with the Eagles from 1999 to 2012. Like, if he coaches another 5 years or just wins another Super Bowl, yeah, Philadelphia, what he did was great work. Really good work. Got the 5 NFC title games. Never won the Super Bowl, though. In Kansas City, obviously had a better quarterback than what he had in Philadelphia. Like, we like McNabb. McNabb's been on this show a bunch. McNabb was a really fun player when we were growing up, but Mahomes is by far and away, we know, a better player. And also, you are taking it to hoisting Lombardi, which you've already done in Kansas City, which you didn't do in Philadelphia. I think there's some people that I remember more so for Kansas City than Philadelphia, Hickey.
Oh, especially the recency bias, too. Like, you know, you tend to forget. Like, and now it's been a decade, and it's like, it's only, like I said, it's only going further and further. I think it's one of those where you're right. Especially if you win two in Kansas City compared to zero in Philly in one appearance, and what, that'd be at least three appearances if you do win the Super Bowl this year for Andy Reid in Kansas City. And you're right, he'd be more known and more remembered as a Chief in you know, big red in red than what he did in Philly.
Now, that's not a thing, though, when you go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Like, you don't have to pick a cap or an advisor like it is in baseball.
They should have Andy Reid going there with the hat and the headset on. He's just so iconic.
No. You know what you would do? It's not a hat and a visor. Him with a burger in his mouth.
And a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
Hawaiian shirt, burger. That should be like the sculpture.
Yeah. Does anyone even give a rat's ass who goes in as who in the Hall of Fame anymore? Because it seems like for baseball, they don't allow anyone in the Hall of Fame. Scott Rowland, the only guy part of that class from that entire ballot. And I know you said this yesterday, and I'll commend you. I thought you did a wonderful job yesterday when you just said a few simple words. I don't care about the Hall of Fame anymore when it comes to baseball. It's the same conversation every year. And nothing against Scott Rowland. Like, you can make a case for Scott Rowland to be in the Hall of Fame. But that Hall of Fame, to me, is very fraudulent. When you don't have Barry Bonds, you don't have Roger Clemens, you know, you can even get to Sammy Sosa, and you can keep on going, like other, like A-Rod and even like a Gary Sheffield, who hit over 500 home runs. I know people can say steroids. Big Papi's in the Hall of Fame. So is it like a Hall of Fame based off who should be in? Is steroids really that big of a deal? Or is it just how the person treated you in the media? Because like if Barry Bonds had a more friendlier personality and wasn't just so much of like a jerk to so many people in the media, Maybe he would have already got in. And I can't stay. I despise Roger Clemens. He's my least favorite athlete ever. Being a huge Mike Piazza fan, easily should be Hall of Famer. 1,000%. And still, John Heyman. I don't usually advocate for people's votes being taken away. And John, even though I think the last few years, he's kind of a little bit past his prime a little bit when it comes to this stuff. So I don't want to say his vote should be taken away, but it was very much so an offense where you could say his vote should be taken away when he would not vote for Mike Piazza, but then right when Pudge is on the ballot, oh, Pudge is a Hall of Famer. When Pudge was once asked, did you ever take performance-enhancing drugs? Only God knows the answer to that one. But you vote for that guy, but you won't vote for Piazza based off the speculation. So, who knows? All these Hall of Fames and awards get confusing. Like, the NFL and the AP couldn't even announce their awards correctly today, as we found out. And for the Hall of Fame, only Scott Rolen goes in this year. But A-Rod doesn't go in the Hall of Fame. Give me a break. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. We live
maybe,
in a stupid
well, the good
world.
News is for A-Rod, the NBA, and I should say the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame puts everyone in. So he'll probably go in as the owner or co-owner of the Timberwolves in like 30 years. So he's got that for him.
Well, I can't stand the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall, Basketball Hall of Fame. I cannot stand that. There are some people in the Hall of Fame. And that Hall of Fame, I know it's not just it's for basketball, not just what you do in the NBA, what you can do in college, impact of the game, all that stuff. But there are some people that you find out become Hall of Famers in basketball. You're like, huh? Really? Like, I was a good player, not a great player. Now, that's just stuff that annoys me in sports. I guess something that also involves sports, but it's also just a stupid conspiracy theory, like not honors. This DeMar Hamlin conspiracy theory that people think that wasn't DeMar Hamlin in the luxury box on Sunday is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, Kyle Brandt had to ask Josh Allen about this last night. So we could sit here, and really these are trivial matters when it comes to does this person get the Hall of Fame or not. When people start to say, oh, I don't think that was DeMar Hamlin in the luxury box because you have some theory that he passed away because it was because of the vaccine. Like, what are we doing here? That wasn't him. They're hiding up that he's still alive. Like, huh? Ay, ay, ay. We live in a stupid world, Tiki. It's not just the Hall of Fame. It's outside of other things as well.
And it's scary that it goes beyond just Twitter. Because yeah, Twitter is one
right.
thing in its own world. But like I said, when you're believing some things that are being spewed on Twitter, you got bigger problems that are larger than just, like I said, what you're tweeting.
Josh Allen had to be asked about, with all what the Bills players went through, he had to be asked if that was actually DeMar Hamlin in the luxury box and the locker room this weekend. Oy, oy, oy. All right, we'll take a break. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
NFL playoffs live on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings you the AFC and NFC championship games. Streaming live for free this Sunday on the Odyssey app. The 49ers visit the Eagles.
Touchdown, Jalen Hurts.
Gibson McCaffrey up the middle into the end zone.
And then it's a rematch between the Bengals and the Chiefs.
Wide open, Ja'Marr Chase takes it in.
Touchdown, Chiefs.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Eagles in the NFC title game. They'll host it this weekend, Sunday. First game coming up against the San Francisco 49ers. Let's welcome in a man that's played in a few NFC title games for the Philadelphia Eagles, was a part of that team that did get to Super Bowl 39 and now does a afternoon talk show for a long time in Philadelphia on Sports Radio 94 WIP. That is former Pro Bowl linebacker and special teams demon in Ike Reese. Ike, how you been?
I'm great, Jack. How you doing, brother?
I appreciate you coming on, and I'm doing wonderful. I got to start you off with Sirianni. So we saw that tweet earlier today where they say he was a Coach of the Year finalist. Then we find out that the NFL, the AP messed it up and he's not a Coach of the Year finalist. Do you have a problem with him not being a top three candidate for Coach of the Year?
Not really. I could certainly understand it if he was a top three candidate, but I don't think this year is one of those weird years, Zach, where it's a real strong class. And to have it narrowed down to just three, somebody worthy of it was going to be left off. So you look at the job Dan Campbell did out there in Detroit. He would have been in the playoffs had Seattle lost after starting 1-5. You look what Doug Peterson did down in Jacksonville in his first year winning that division with a second-year quarterback after the disaster with Urban Meyer a year ago. And then the obvious candidates in Nick, along with Brian Daboll and even Kyle Shanahan, those would have been like my top guys. I think I've included everybody that I would have wanted in there. Obviously, Nick with the best record in the league deserves to be in the conversation. But I think sometimes they look at whether or not the expectation plus adversity you may have overcome as a coach and put that over, I guess, how good your football team is, right, and whether or not you have the best team. So as a bigger prize awaiting us in 2 weeks, it'd be nice if they got the Coach of the Year. I remember in 17, Doug, we felt, got robbed out of being Coach of the Year that year, and I thought he was deserving that year, but Sean McVay got it, and even though Doug beat him head-to-head, and I think after we won that Super Bowl, it's really just a footnote in that season or something you add to as far as motivation or why you think the world is against us, the sports world is against us as a football team and as a sports city. And we use that as fuel to go out there and put that on our opponent. So that's just one other thing. You throw Brandon Graham in there for comeback player of the year, too. He got snubbed as well. Hassan Reddick, defensive player of the year. Wasn't even in the conversation, certainly deserved to be in the conversation with the type of year they had on defense, setting records with sacks and everything. So, you know, it's just on that list, Zach, of why we feel like no one likes us and we don't care.
Ike Reese here with us. This is Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So Brock Purdy, during this time as the starting quarterback for the Niners, hasn't ever looked rattled. The moments never looked too big. I'm just wondering, and he looks so cool and calm as their quarterback, how he's going to react to that scene that he's going to see on Sunday in South Philadelphia at the Link.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. You know, many quarterbacks have come in, especially in that type of environment. And if we as a football team, whether it's our offense or our defense coming out and getting a three and out, if we can get off to a great start, it keeps that crowd and that energy and that intensity there, and eventually he will feel it. But if we aren't putting the pressure on him on the field, whether it's by putting points on the board and getting him out of his comfort zone or getting to him, putting hits on him, getting him in obvious passing situations where it has to be on him, like if that happens, I feel good about our chances. And like I said, it's his first year playing. He certainly hasn't been in an environment that will be as hostile and intense with as much on the line as he will be Sunday. But the team on the field has to put him in a position where he feels that pressure. If he can operate the way that he's been operating, then he just hands the ball off, and they try to go win the game with their defense and their running game.
I agree here with us. What's going on with A.J. Brown? There was a report about the targets. Then it was an injury. Why he looked a little frustrated on Saturday evening in a blowout victory. He talked today. What did A.J. Brown say?
I think the Eagles are – let me just say this. If you're asking me, I think he may have been a little frustrated that he wasn't a little more involved. Felt like he probably could have done more if given more opportunities. That's the sense I get from hearing Coach Sirianni talk about it. I believe it was Monday when he was asked about it and he spoke on it. And then I think AJ had a chance to speak today, and he didn't necessarily dive into it in detail, but he just talked about the mentality of being a competitor, being a number one wide receiver, wanting to contribute and help and those type of things. But I guess he wanted to assure everyone that there is no issues. He's good. That was Saturday night. He's ready to go play for a chance to go to the Super Bowl. So, and he said all of that. When you could see his face, he certainly seemed to be in good spirits and had a smile on his face. And you know what, Zach? Sometimes in the heat of the moment, that happens. But you also get a 24-hour cool-down period to be able to collect yourself. And you try to come in with a different attitude and outlook on things. Now, had he come in to work today or yesterday and was still frustrated or what have you, then I would view that as some sort of issue. But I think he knows there's a bigger prize awaiting, and he's going to have an opportunity Sunday to contribute in Sunday's game. I'd be surprised if he doesn't get more than three targets this week.
Yeah, I already bet him anytime touchdown at plus 140. I think yeah, he's getting the end zone.
Yes.
So we all know that you love the Eagles, and we all know that you love Andy Reid. I know there's two games that got to be played this weekend, but if we do have a Super Bowl, Eagles going up against your old ball coach, how do you emotionally handle that?
Oh, I'm good with it. I mean, you know, my Philadelphia fans here don't like to hear me discuss this because I just look at it like it's a win-win situation. I'm not going to be mad either way. Obviously, we're rooting for the Eagles first and foremost. That goes without question. I bleed green, and so people understand that. And my this fan base that listens to me, they understand my love for Andy Reid and how much I appreciate what he did for me as my head coach, and that's never going to change. But it's never at the expense of the Philadelphia Eagles. So the Philadelphia Eagles are number one. And check this out, Zach. I'm from Cincinnati. So either way, I'm going to be in some sort of a quandary there. But it really is no quandary. The Eagles, number one. That's always first and foremost.
So who gets to the Super Bowl?
I believe it's going to be, obviously, Philadelphia on this side. And up until today, I was pretty confident that Cincinnati was going to win that game against Kansas City, only because I didn't think Patrick Mahomes would be anywhere close to being good to go with a high ankle sprain. The fact that, he's not in a boot, he's not on crutches. I'm not saying he's running around like he did prior to the injury, but that is a good sign for Kansas City that he was out there participating in practice to some degree and wasn't necessarily resting that thing and having it up in a boot or anything of that nature. So it's hard to bet against those guys at home. That's going to be a tough one there. I tell you what, that's going to be a tough game. I could see either one of those teams winning.
I literally have 30 seconds left. Would you agree with this? As great as Jalen Hurts has been on the field, his leadership is more impressive than his on-the-field play?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially at his young age. And that's the more impressive thing, is that to be as young as he is and to, I guess, have self-awareness and have a maturity and have the ability to have people listen and follow. You don't necessarily get that at a 23, 24-year-old.
Ike Greese, appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much. I'll see you in Philly this weekend at the game. Thank you.
No problem, Zach. Go Birds.
You got it. There he is, Ike Greese, joining us from Sports Radio 94 WIP, the 2004 Pro Bowler for the EAGLES Eagles. And he does a great job afternoons with Johnny Marks. You can hear, by the way, every Friday, Saturday into Sunday, from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time on CBS Sports Radio. If you listen Friday into Saturday, you'll hear our guy, I'll Take Icky, from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern on CBS Sports Radio. Where in that show, he just refers to himself as Ryan Hickey of CBS Sports Radio. Take a break. When we come on back, play you some audio as we update you on the biggest stories in the world of sports. We call that segment the News Brief. And John Kuhn will join us to talk about the future of Aaron Rodgers in about 25 minutes from now.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings you the AFC and NFC championship games. Streaming live for free this Sunday on the Odyssey app. The 49ers visit the Eagles.
Touchdown, Chiefs!
McCaffrey up the middle into the end zone.
And then it's a rematch between the Bengals and the Chiefs.
Wide open. Ja'Marr Chase takes it in. Touchdown, Chiefs.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.